There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Sarah, thanks so much indeed for your text. Sarah texted on 4001 saying, I think that we need to have some changes to cars, perhaps tax on SUVs and big financial incentives and bonuses if you buy an electric vehicle. Sarah, appreciate your thoughts there. Let's get some more thoughts because our roving reporter from ARN News Centre and, of course, all the team at Dubai I-103.8 is the one and only Maria Botros, who's alongside us now. She's come back home. Come back for a little. Why? Was it getting a bit too much out there?
Yes. I came to recharge and then I'm going to go back out there.
In keeping with all things solar and
exactly,
energy.
Exactly.
What have you found out from the floor?
So I tried to look into all the small booths, tried to visit those. I found a small stand that's actually really close to ours, right over there, as I walked around. It's called Greenponics. Basically, you use a hydroponic technique to plant at home and growing your own veggies and fruits. Hydroponics just basically means that you get to grow your plants without using soil. You just use water and minerals. So when I spoke to the guys at the stand, they said that you substitute the soil with coconut husk or clay balls. And then every pot has a slot in this growing channel, basically. And it's a system that has holes for every pot to be placed in. And then every row of slots has tubes coming out of it. And then the tubes are attached to a water tank, which serves as the water supply that goes through the tubes to water the plants for you. So you basically don't need to do anything. The pots are just placed in this system. It waters the plants for you. And then at the end of every week, you just fill this tank with water, and it's good enough for a week long.
Now, I know somebody who's not that far from you or I, Maria, who is a very keen backyard gardener. Her tomato crop is very much is the talk of the town, not just Sustainable City, but the town, in fact.
Yes.
Jo McKibben, you've been looking intently at you've been casting your beady eye over this new system. Would it work?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it also would work really well with balconies. And there's lots of high-rise livers here who say, I wouldn't be able to grow my own. I don't have the outdoor space. And these containers hold a good 25, 30 plants. So you'd be able to actually grow them on your balcony. And you could have a whole little vegetable garden. I love it.
Yeah, and they have two kinds. So they have a stand and then they have a hanging one. So basically you can mount it on your wall.
So they look quite cool as well.
They do. And there's an indoor one that's called like the oxygen generator. So for oxygen generating plants, basically. So you use it indoors.
And there's enough light from your balcony to give it a go.
Yeah.
Do you know how much they cost to buy?
No, he did not reveal that to me. So
roving reporter, you need to go.
I will
go and
try
find
to
out.
Get that for you. Sure.
They're called Greenophonics. They're down here in hall number 3, DZ6, if you want to go and say hi to them and find out more about their green, not phonics, because that's...
Ponics,
isn't it? Yeah. Greenophonics is like a DJ, isn't it?
Sounds like a pretty cool name.
So they're out here, down here in hall number 3. Anyone else we should be keeping an eye out for? Or have you got your eyes or your targets on anybody in particular that you want to go and say hi to?
Yeah, the students. So they just started filling up the booth. I'm going to find out a bit more about their innovations.
Tell you what, one thing that struck me in the sort of brief time that I've been down here is the scale of things. Obviously, you've got the big sort of leaders in the industry, like your Diwas, like your Sustainable Cities, like your Mazdas as well, all who've got huge stands down here and seminars set up, etc. And then there are all those little other tertiary industries that are set up around as well, some with huge budgets, some with not such huge budgets, but all... working towards a sort of common goal for
one
a greener
goal.
Community.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's what's lovely about this event. And you even get students, like you don't even, not just only businesses. So that's, I find that so interesting that they're incorporating, you know, the youth in events like this.
Joe, highlights for you thus far?
Oh, the green... Oh,
no,
and there's also, there's a robot behind me that I'm trying to get over here. There's one
so
in front
rude.
Of me as well. And there's a lady coming round shortly. I'm going to go and get her in a minute. And she's wearing a NASA astronaut outfit. Okay. Yeah, so she's going to talk to us about space.
Do you think she's an actual astronaut or not?
Oh, of course.
Oh, right, okay.
What better things have they got to do?
Thank you very much indeed to you both. Maria is our roving reporter, feeding in to Dubai I-103.8 and the ARN news team throughout the day from WETEX. Joe and I are with you through until 1 o'clock this afternoon. Aman, thank you for your thoughts this morning as well. A man being in touch saying this. Loving the conversation, just wanted to add, as tech progresses, we are seeing more and more of ambient computing. For example, your GPS tracker while you're disconnected and cycling. As ambient computing's footprint increases in our lives, it helps to lead a more stress-free life. Imagine you're fried. Not only you know what times are running low, but it lets your A1 powered reordering system work as a binding process. Well, it would check the price of the item with various supermarkets and place the order with the one that gives it the best price. So thank you for that. We're at WETEX 2018. We're live from the Dubai World Trade Center, and one of the reasons I love events like this is you literally bump into fascinating individuals. Here we are broadcasting from hall number 3, and both Joe and I commented on a lady who was standing out from the crowd for more reasons than one, because she's dressed absolutely immaculately in what is the equivalent of a NASA jumpsuit, if you like. So we thought it's only fair to invite Lissy Donald over to us. Lissy is the Managing Director of Compass International. Lissy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Really kind of you to come on down here. I know it's not your first time to WETEX. You've been here a couple of times. But for those unacquainted with Compass International Education Travel Management Company, what do you do?
So our objective is to promote and empower youth with 21st century learning skills, and especially in space, Mars education. We are the partners for NASA US Space and Rocket Center and Cosmodome in Canadian Space Agency. We work closely with UA Space Agency. So we are passionate about empowering the youth of UAE, and we bring in astronauts, scientists from NASA, and train them about the space rocketry, how to be an astronaut, what are the challenges that you find in space, and help them all the help that they need to become an aspiring astronaut.
I think this is a fascinating correlation, because I wouldn't ordinarily have put together an event like this when we're talking about sustainability, we're talking about water technology, other sort of formalities that we've got, or other fuels that we've used in the past. But you're right. I mean, space is the next frontier for us all. It's going to be part of the sustainable solution for
Absolutely.
The future, isn't it?
Absolutely. So in space as well, what we are looking at, how can all this innovation help the Earth in the coming years? And there is a massive interest for space among the youth. And we have all these partners and informations and knowledge that's necessary, and the professionals who are willing to help, and why not? So it's an opportunity, and there is a need, and we are able to connect with them and meet the objective, both the students and the agency here.
We're about to see the first ever Emirati-engineered satellite go into space. KhalifaSat gets launched very, very shortly. We've got the Mars program ongoing at the moment. Sheikh Mohammed, the Mohammed bin Rashid Space Center is breaking new ground all the time. Is the appetite for space here in the UAE, here in the Middle East, is it vibrant at the moment?
It's absolutely vibrant. The drive is so strong. They are really passionate, and the government is doing everything that can to promote and to aspire students. And it's very, very encouraging to see that. So to be a part of it, it's very humbling. Yes.
Lissy, I was going to say how people can find you down here. They're not going to miss you, that's for sure, because you are bedecked in this NASA jumpsuit, which which is wonderful as well, the Space and Rocket Center from Huntsville, Alabama, is that
Huntsville,
right?
Alabama. Yeah, we are the regional partner. So we help students to go there. We bring the trainers, the crews, the CEOs come here and talk to the students, to schools, to government institutions, and, you know, promote as much as we can.
You certainly won't be missed in the crowd, that's for sure. We can find you there. But you are down here at WETEX, are you, if people want to come and find
Absolutely.
Out more?
Absolutely. We have a stall at the Canadian Pavilion. So this is because we are the exclusive partners for Cosmodo. And we are at the hall. We are ready to help them in any way that we can.
If you're coming on down to WETEX, come and say hi to Lucy and her team. Thank you so much
indeed
for your time.
Much.
Plenty more to look forward to down here at WETEX 2018. Joe has been out and about, just canvassing opinions amongst other things as well. You've got some good advice on things on the ways we can save, the way we can become more sustainable.
Well, let's start off with what we're spending on our water bills and utility bills. So, for example, a couple living in a one-bedroom apartment, the average utility spend is 700 dirhams a month. And if you're living in a four-bedroom villa without a swimming pool, you will have an average monthly bill of around 1,800 dirhams a month. Now, basically, there has been this WaterWise initiative that has carried out some research on water usage in households, and it was done in Abu Dhabi, and the average number of household occupants was 5 people. Now, excluding leakage, each household uses 882 litres of water per day.
A day?
Yes. It's quite a lot of water.
Yeah.
So essentially, this is what it goes on. It goes, and so much of that goes on your gardening and your landscape. So basically, you are wasting your money watering your gardens inefficiently. Okay, with some households using more than 1,200 litres of water per day just to water your garden. Also in the bathtub, do you have baths very often, Tom?
I don't, no. It's something of a rarity. But I am one. I think this is a bit of a throwback to my youth, which is, and my the War Office here indoors balks at the idea, but I'm one for keeping the water in. Because if she has a bath, I say, well, leave the water in, I'll have it afterwards. And she can't abide the idea.
Well, it depends on who goes in it first, doesn't it? I'll happily share bath water. The whole family has to go through it, quite frankly.
Yeah, I mean,
especially if you fill up a bath here.
But is that not? I mean, again, I know that we've sort of been harking back to this whole idea of the past and things like that, and simplifying things when it comes to sustainability. But isn't that one of the sort of the tenets, which is, you know, I'm not suggesting everyone has a shower together or anything like that, but you know, if you've the bath water, that's something that I certainly grew up with.
Did you used to have to boil the bath water in a kettle and fill up the bath?
We did have taps, you know, one hot and one cold. Well, two cold, basically.
I find this hard to believe, actually, because your shower will use 213 litres of water having a shower. So again, it goes back to what Kareem was saying earlier. Short showers and have a bath once a week, and that is an experience. That is a joy. That's fun to have a bath once a week.
And then just keep it in for the entire week.
Anyway, there are ways of saving your water, and this is what we need to get to. So with showering, what you can do is you can actually have regulators put onto your shower, and you can save money. Benji's absolutely losing it. The robot Benji is really giggling about you having a bath.
Benji is our tech op. He's the guy that keeps us on air, and he's laughing because he hasn't had a bath for weeks. We can't remember the last time he had a bath.
Anyway, you can fit something to change the flow of water. So you fit a 9-litre per minute flow regulator to your shower, and you would save 40% of your water use.
I don't know. Everyone's having a laugh at me. What? Do I smell or something? What's going on? Because for some reason, I've become the butt of all the jokes. I don't have a problem with it. I literally don't. I mean, I grew up in a household where there wasn't the owner. This is a point of contention in our household. My other half, bless her, the War Office, she is somebody who would happily have 3 or 4 showers a day. I don't personally see the point. I really don't see the point. I see the point for those that are willing to be hygienic. But again, if we're having this conversation at WETEX 2018, it's overindulgent and unnecessary.
Well, it's also, you can also apply the same to your air conditioning, and this is a good question because I want to know what you set your air conditioning temperature at.
Again, this goes back to a conversation or an argument that's being had in the Urquhart household at the moment, where Daddy Urquhart sleeps in one room where he can turn the AC off, because I feel that we're at that time of year where, and I in fact love opening the door, and at some point during the evening you get that little bit of cool breeze that comes in, and it's, you know, quite happy not to sleep under with the air conditioning off at this time of year, whereas everyone else in the house needs to have the air conditioning on so they can wrap themselves up nice and warm in their luxurious duvets and pillows. And it doesn't make sense to me, because we're not looking at our surroundings and going, you know what, this time of year is perfect for turning the AC off, get rid of the duvet, either sleep with just a light sheet or whatever. But it's making those sacrifices, and that's part of the choices that Karim was talking about, wasn't there? There's lifestyle choices.
Yeah, and I think we often forget that we live in one of the hottest countries on the planet, so you have to adjust to the climate that we're living in. You have to say, yeah, it's going to be warm, I'm going to be a bit sweaty, I'm going to be a bit hot and sticky, but you need to try and adapt. And then again, that goes exactly back to what Karim was saying. We then carry our jumpers around with us. So we need to really regulate our way of living. And we can say, yeah, I'll be really grubby, I'm only going to have one shower a day, and I will just have to take it in my stride that it's going to be hot, I'm going to be a little bit sweaty and grubby.
I mean, I've just got to say, for you know, I don't want for a moment to come across as all worthier than thou, and, you know, it's not like I wear horse head jackets or anything like that, and carry around certain bags. I'm bad when it comes to, I tell you what I am bad, is water, because I drink a lot of water. I'm a water consumer, and I buy a lot of water on the go, and I'm very bad at taking a bottle with me and refilling and bits and pieces. One thing I do is, if I have bought a bottle, I will take it home, refill it from the water filter that we have underneath the sink, put it back in the fridge. But again, this is a choice thing. This is my choice, because I'm not going out and buying water bottles all the time. But it drives my wife mad, because she can't bear grubby old bottles hanging around the house.
The problem with the single-use plastic bottles is that they you can't really use them that many times. They do get a bit smelly and they do get a bit grubby, and you can't put them in the dishwasher and properly clean them. So I will treat you to a bottle, Tom, and a reusable coffee cup. Because
bottle of what, Joe?
Water. Anyway, you can also save a lot of water with how you wash your hands. I'm obsessed with this now. So how much water do you think you use in litres every week by washing your hands?
Oh, litres. I mean, more than you put in a bath, for sure.
1,400 litres.
I told you it was more than you put in a bath, unless you had a really, really, really big bath.
Anyway, you can fit another one of these gauges where it basically says, I will have 3 litres of water per minute, and then you can start saving, and it just gets fitted to your water faucet. So have a think about that, everyone.
Have a think about those. How do you control your water consumption? Be that putting it in your body, being it putting it around your body, being that putting it in your environment. Are you one that is put on? Do you even check the washers and your taps? Do you have a leaky tap? How much does that cost you at the moment? Leaky taps. What's that doing to the environment?
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.